Hello, and welcome to Build Momentum, a podcast where we explore thought leadership and education. I'm Sarah Williamson, the founder of SWPR Group.
And I'm Chad Bolster, Chancellor at Ivy Tech Community College in Richmond, Indiana. This season, we will launch a series exploring global workforce development in K-12 school districts and the leaders who are bringing this work to life.
We hear from CTE directors, superintendents, and thought leaders on the topic of workforce development, how it's shifted throughout the last several years, who is employing strategies that are making an impact, and how they're sharing those stories with the broader education community. We explore how to leverage key partners, your constituents, and the media to authentically impact your organization and the leaders who champion them. We can't wait to get started, so let's dive in.
So today on Build Momentum, we are excited to have Tim Taylor, the co-founder and president of America Succeeds, with us to continue our series this season on K-12 workforce development. Welcome to Build Momentum, Tim.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to see you.
Tim, it's so nice to finally meet you. I feel like we've been connected on LinkedIn for many years. Back at my Apex Learning days, I feel like we did a couple sessions together at some point. But great to have you on the show today. And I would love to hear more about America Succeeds and what was the impetus for launching the organization.
Yeah, it's great to see you as well. And yeah, we've been running in the same circles for years. So this is a historic moment then.
Well, for sure. Thank you.
Yeah. So really, America Succeeds came out of an organization called Colorado Succeeds that was founded almost 20 years ago that was the business voice for education in Colorado. It was a group of business leaders who came together who said, as the end users of the education system's product, we hire these young people. We need to express our needs. And if we are not showing up, we get what we deserve. So we had an extraordinary board for a number of years in Colorado. Pete Coors was responsible in the early days for helping us get going, and a woman named Donna Lynn, who ultimately went on to serve as our lieutenant governor, but she was at Kaiser Permanente at the time. And the idea was an organization that would earn and spend its political capital to improve education outcomes for kids, for the mutual benefit of kids and the workforce, and ultimately having young people who could succeed in a competitive global economy and have a family-sustaining, you know, wage and be able to contribute to their communities.
It's super interesting. And just for the record, I think every time I'm anywhere with Sarah in any capacity, it's historic. So I just think that that's just a rule to live by.
Fair. That's true. Accurate.
Yeah. So, but obviously one of the things we're really excited about talking about is this idea of durable skills. Can you tell us more about the research your organization has identified when it comes to applicable skills for the workforce?
Yeah, of course. Thanks. So, right, doing the work of working with employers and trying to figure out what they are looking for. And we've done a lot of policy and advocacy work at Colorado Succeeds and then ultimately America Succeeds over the years in a variety of states. And prior to the pandemic, we were doing a lot of work on really what a lot of people were referring to as the future of work. And we dubbed the age of agility, that if young people needed to be agile in order to succeed in today's world, then it just made sense that education systems needed to be agile as well. And education systems are a lot of things, but agile is not particularly one of them. And so it was really difficult, you know, a system level change. But coming out of the pandemic, right, we didn't know where tens of millions of kids were. They weren't showing up for school. You had food insecurity because a lot of kids only got their, you know, one meal a day at school. You had the George Floyd riots. So you had the equity issues coming front and center. And I don't think that the business community had the appetite to weigh in or knew exactly what to do while schools were trying to sort of sort those things out. Those were really thorny components. So the flip side of the age of agility, the technical skills that young people would need are these durable skills, skills that last a lifetime, that young people, that all earners, learners will take with them for their entire career. So we can all think about the number of jobs we've had over the course of the career and the number of technical skills we've used from one job to the next. And we have most likely, you know, changed those over the course of our career, but we use these same durable skills time and time again, regardless of where we are and how our careers have progressed. And so this is what we landed on. Durable skills are what we refer to. Some people call them soft skills or essential skills or 21st century skills. There's lots of terminology out there for these. But we think of them as how you use what you know, critical thinking, collaboration, communication, and then how you show up. So your leadership, it is your metacognition skills, it is your growth mindset, it is those types of things. And I often call them the second rung on the career ladder, because without them, it is virtually impossible to succeed in today's economy.
Yeah. And it's interesting you said there's all that absenteeism during the pandemic. Obviously, kids didn't go to school. It's still happening, Tim. I don't know if you saw the New York Times article. Kids still aren't going to school. Yeah.
Yeah, we are having an enormous issue with that around the country. One of the issues that we see quite a bit is, you know, you can look at some of the things and student engagement has just fallen off of a cliff. And we look at what teachers are trying to, you know, compete against in terms of the kids' screens and, right, just the amount of information that is in front of them and how fast that information is coming at them. And school most likely seems slow to a lot of kids, right? I mean, we still are using a lot of traditional systems. And that's a big chunk of what we're talking about with durable skills, is that we realize we want young people to have these skills, but we've got to change what's happening in the classroom to make sure that kids are learning these skills. It's just not going to happen unless we're intentional.
Yeah. So that's kind of leads into my next question, how you've seen the needs evolve since you launched America Succeeds. I'm sure that's part of it. And then I'm also curious if you've seen more public-private partnerships with K-12 organizations now than you have in the past. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I think the work has evolved a little bit over the time that I've been in this space. There were a lot of things around standards, right? No Child Left Behind, right? Did some good things, also did some bad things, but really brought a lot of focus and attention to disaggregated data and really ensuring that all subsets of the population were succeeding without looking in just sort of the top line numbers. So, you know, some of those things were pretty important at the time. Not all of them went the way that we all thought they would as reformers. And education systems have needed this outside voice. And what business brings to that is this stability. They are going to be around a lot longer than any superintendent or governor or anybody else. So business being involved in sort of expressing their needs and wants in terms of what it's going to take for young people is really powerful for them to be involved in what's happening in our schools. Sadly, I think one of the things that we're seeing across the country, right, is how divided the country is in a lot of things. And this is showing up in schools, in school board meetings, and other things as well. And I think it's a little bit of a barrier for businesses to wade in on some of those things, right? They don't get paid for fixing problems at school boards. They're worried about their shareholders, and coming out and taking a position on just about anything these days is, right, a lightning rod for, you know, getting on somebody's good side or somebody's bad side, whichever it may be. So durable skills was really a way to help bring business back to the table, employers back to the table, to say, you know, across every geography, across every industry, regardless of education attainment level, employers are asking for these skills. So you're not splitting the CTE world versus the STEM world versus the healthcare world versus, right? Everybody wants young people to have this foundation to enter the workforce. And it's a uniting theme that we're really pleased has been as well received as it has.
Tim, one of the really cool things about being a part of this podcast and a part of Sarah's work and all the things that happen is, I think sometimes we look at our local entities and we think, oh, this is only happening here, or boy, we have this a lot worse than anyone else. And the really great part about hearing you and others like you talk, this is really a nationwide conversation. It is something that is going on really all the time in all different types of spaces. People may use different languages, but it's really going on. But being from the great state of Indiana, it's appropriate for me to kind of address the America Succeeds work with the Indiana Employability Skills Innovation and Implementation Grant. So would you share more about how that came together and the outcome of that work?
Yeah, of course. So quick comment on, right, the differences between states, I think, are oftentimes a little less different than everybody would want you to believe. I have a colleague who sort of says every state would like to be their own very special snowflake. And yet there are a lot of similarities. So particularly with durable skills, it's one of the things inherent in durable skills. They're similar across the country. In terms of Indiana, we were thrilled to partner with the State Department of Education because Indiana had a lot of really cool things in place. And they had actually written a grant that went out to districts across the state that referred to the America Succeeds work as it relates to durable skills. They referred to our report. And so they were asking districts, help us understand what this looks like in a classroom. How are these skills being delivered? What's changing? So Indiana's Portraits of a Graduate, right, really sets up and tees up that we want, that the community wants these types of skills. That's state leaders, that's elected officials, that's parents, that's teachers, that's the employers, right? There's a lot of agreement around what we want young people to know and be able to do when they graduate and get ready for their next steps in the school to work pipeline. The challenge everywhere is, how do we make a student's day look different, a classroom look different to practice these skills when we're asking so much of teachers already? And one of the things we discovered in working on this project, right, is that it's not doing more necessarily, it's just doing what you do a little different. And one of the examples that we use all of the time was a math teacher who said to us, you know, in a math class, I can ask students to get together in groups of three, work on a set of problems using different problem solving techniques, and then ask those students to go to the front of the class and share with their classmates how they solved those problems. And while I'm still teaching my curriculum for math, whatever that is, fourth grade fractions or 10th grade geometry, I'm having these students practice collaboration, critical thinking, problem solving, verbal communication skills, presentation skills, multiple durable skills at the same time they're learning math. And that's the big trick, is that in education, we tend to think of everything in terms of Carnegie units, that if you're not sitting in a seat for a certain period of time with a class name, you're not learning something. But of course, you don't think critically from 11 to 1150 and then go to math, right? You think critically all day, you collaborate all day, you communicate. And that's what we've found in a lot of these examples. And there's some great highlights around what's happening in the state of Indiana.
You know, Tim, it seems to me that the other thing that we get boxed into is that learning only happens during those periods of time where the experience of a student, if really rich, like we want all students' experiences to be, happens before the school day, after the school day, during lunch times and the times in and out of the classroom. I think you speak to that of, we just need to acknowledge what folks are learning while they're in that presence of school.
Yeah, for sure. And it's rare that I have talked this long about durable skills without talking about one of our big drivers, right, is economic mobility and equity. And as you talk about, you know, and you think about those things and how these are happening in a classroom and where else they're happening, there's been a lot of inequity. Families that have some means, their students are learning this by after-school programs, music, arts, sports, dinner table conversation, world travel, you know, all kinds of different things where you pick up durable skills. When it's not embedded in a classroom or in the class experience, there's tremendous inequity for the kids that are having these really enriching after-school activities or while they're not in school, and the kids who are not. And we think that one of the things is so important to embed this in everybody's day all day long, regardless of whether their path is to go right into work or the military or anywhere else. These skills are going to drive their career, and everybody needs these skills. This isn't like for a select few. So how do they practice? How do they learn to demonstrate? How do they learn the terminology? You know, one of the things we talk about all the time is, think about, you know, getting to a job interview and somebody saying, you know, when was the last time you collaborated and what did that look like? Well, a student who has really practiced collaboration in school and can say, well, I mean, this could be a retail job, you know, while they're in college, but being able to answer that question by saying, well, the last time was my science class. And the first thing we did was decided roles and responsibilities. The second was how we were handling conflict. The third was how we were going to handle deliverables. And I mean, that's an answer that gets you hired when somebody says, describe to me the last time you collaborated, not I did a group project and Billy didn't pull his weight. So understanding what they're doing and practicing that and learning deeply what those terms mean and how they applied it are the drivers that are so powerful as these kids go to and through their education experience.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think for us in our agency, we're seeking that critical thinking aspect of young grads and even employees who've been in the PR arena for a long time. It can be hard to find, and it's hard to teach that. So it's interesting because it's very important when you're running a company like this to have that critical thinking.
You are not alone. The Association for Talent Development did a study, and 83% of employers complain about a skills gap. Mm-hmm. And the largest two in the workforce are critical thinking and communication skills, right? We're hearing this over and over again. This is not an isolated problem. one point to note there, right? Everybody is hired for any job ever with, for some combination of technical and durable skills. And we're all familiar with somebody saying, give me somebody who has the durable skills and I'll teach them the technical skills. I have never met an employer who said, give me somebody who's got great technical skills and no durable skills, and they're going to be a great fit for my company. Doesn't exist. Yeah. You will not last long anywhere. And there are very few employers who are willing to hire somebody who just lost their job for a lack of durable skills to take them on into their company. They can stifle entire careers by not being able to develop these skills and demonstrate them to an employer.
Yeah, so true. Well, let's crack that nut for sure.
We do have a lot of work to do.
Like, yeah, we do.
Right? We're on the right path, and opportunities like this to share our story are incredible, but there's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, there really is. But we're here to do it together. And that leads to my next question. I'm curious how you are working together with your America Succeeds partner network across the country to do just this work. Will you tell us more about how those localized efforts are driving results?
Are you an education leader, the leader of an edtech company, or a member of an organization supporting education? We continue to hear from leaders like you who have a story to tell, a message to share, or an important initiative that needs greater awareness. 3 years ago, that's exactly what we heard from Doug Roberts, the CEO of the Institute for Education Innovation, when he approached SWPR Group. This led to the launch of a groundbreaking new award that was unlike any other in edtech. The SUPS Choice Awards, judged exclusively by K-12 superintendents, set IEI on a path to market dominance, increasing vendor partners and superintendent members by more than 30% year over year. Jamie Candy, the CEO of Edmentum, shared with SWPR Group the EdTech company's desire to tell district success stories and to elevate the leaders behind their organization in a more thoughtful and strategic way. Throughout the past 2 years, SWPR Group has established consistent and regular media coverage, authored compelling op-eds, and secured interviews highlighting success stories while also inserting Edmentum into timely topics like AI with national reporters. At SWPR Group, we provide public relations, communication strategies, and thought leadership support for today's changemakers and the brands they champion. We work together with our clients to bring their mission to life by consistently delivering high-quality content, creative communication strategies, and transformational results. What story do you want to tell? Reach out to us using the link in the show notes or visit our website at swpr-group.com.
Yeah, sure, certainly. So at the end of January of this year, we released the Durable Skills Framework. And that framework includes a couple of things that is available on our website at americasucceeds.org. You can download that framework. There is a free starter edition that is available to anybody that wants it. And that framework includes a couple of things. One is a lexicon of these terms, because we've used a lot of different terms to describe the same thing. And so what we have there is the lexicon that employers and educators, we've worked with over 800 partners around the country, some of the largest employers, education partners as well, to come up with what that lexicon is. So now we have an agreed upon lexicon. And then we also came up with a rubric of what employers expect somebody to be able to know or do when they're entering the workforce. We set it up to be at about a 22 to 24 year old level. So after somebody has come out of school, they may have gone to the military, they may have 2 years of community college, they may have stackable credentials, they may have a 4-year degree, whatever it is. But that's about the time that employers are really clear on here's what we want you to be able to do. That framework exists for others to be able to embed in their content and their products. America Succeeds is not a content provider. So we need partners across the country who want to use that intellectual property to put it into their products, their services, their delivery, everything from teacher prep. How do teachers teach this? We're talking to assessment companies about how do you start to get kids to demonstrate these types of things, built into curriculum, built into community colleges. There's just all kinds of opportunities. We're working with a couple of states who have some of the pieces in place, again, like Indiana. This movement around portraits of a graduate is very powerful. And we're starting to see that really take off across the country, where the community comes together and says, here's what we want somebody to be able to know and do. And what we're seeing is an average of 4 to 6 durable skills built into every portrait of a graduate we've ever seen. People recognize they want these skills. So we can only do this with the incredible partners that we've had across the country, and we're just getting started.
So if I am in my local community and I really want to know and move this mission forward, because it totally makes sense, right? Like we're hearing talk and folks can agree upon this and we have this moving forward and you really want to move this mission forward. How do you recommend business leaders, educators, we will have legislators listening to this podcast for certain, you know, parents, families, how can they get together and move this mission forward, work together in a collaborative way?
Yeah, great question. Thank you. Right. So talking about durable skills, first, even introducing that as a term of art and thinking through what we want young people to be able to know and do when they launch, regardless of where they're headed in that next step. I don't think that we don't split the difference of, you know, whether this is for college going students or this is for anybody who will have a job at any point in their life, which I think is a pretty broad cross section of our country. So to be able to learn these skills, demonstrate these skills, embed these in our classroom, it's going to take a lot of partnership. It's going to take a lot of people to get behind the idea. We love, I'll keep harping on the portraits of a graduate, but if a community has not come together and decided on what they want young people to be able to do, then anything that's happening in the classroom will get you there. So when we're clear on the outcomes that we want for young people, and they tend to include these types of skills, then the real work is figuring out how to make this part of every student's day so that they are practicing these skills and able to demonstrate these skills and that they're ready for a lifetime of using these skills.
Awesome. So Tim, one of the reasons we created this podcast was to elevate thought leaders in education and to understand how they're telling their stories. So tell me about how you're sharing your story at America Succeeds, other than right here with us.
I think we participated in over 80 public speaking events last year, everything from South by Southwest to ASU GSV. I'm headed to the National Governors Association meeting in a couple of weeks. We are really just trying to let people know what we found out about durable skills. So at the beginning, I sort of glossed over, right? We did an analysis of 88 million job descriptions between 2022 and 2023. So looking at every job that really hit the internet through our partners, MC Burning Glass or Lightcast is their new name. And what we found was 7 of the top 10 most in-demand skills across every job sector, every industry, every geography, regardless of education attainment level, are these durable skills. So at least letting folks know that these are the types of skills that employers are asking for. And then when we think about what's coming with AI, these are still the skills that humans have to do, at least for now, right? The machines can't quite get to this level. It might be coming. But for now, what we're seeing is an uptick in this. And then you also see, I think there are now 20 states that have removed a 4-year degree requirement for hiring for state-level jobs. Well, a 4-year degree has been the proxy for durable skills for many HR managers, public and private sector, that they will take that resume off the top of the pile because it at least it's the best proxy we've got going of there's some tenacity. They probably have some critical thinking skills. They probably collaborated or communicated while they're in school. So if we're really going to level the playing field and remove 4-year degrees from hiring and get more people into good paying jobs, figuring out how we're going to understand what young people have and can demonstrate in durable skills is really a critical part of that process. So we're telling everybody we can possibly tell. And the good news is it's being really well received. I think it is a little bit in the motherhood and apple pie category of if you want your kid to get a job, it makes sense that these are the types of skills that they're going to need.
So we always try to ask this sort of question every session we have here, but what are you most hopeful about the future of work?
I think what's interesting about the narrative that we're seeing with AI and what's coming is a lot of disruption. And I think that that's scary. And I think it scares, and rightly so, right? There are going to be some jobs that disappear. We know that. But I think that what it's going to do in terms of creating jobs can be just as big. And I think that the piece that we like to focus on is what is it going to take to be successful in any of those jobs moving forward? And these skills that we talk about are durable for a reason, right? They will last over time. And although we're seeing a big shift and some disruption in the workplace, there is evidence that these skills are going to become even more important instead of less important. And I think that also in terms of the workforce, another thing that we're hopeful for is this movement to skills-based hiring, which is going to give more people who don't have four-year degrees, right? And the college going rate has dropped by almost 10% since the pandemic. So we have fewer people going to school. We're going to have some way for these people to get into and get good jobs, and they're available. And I think that's another component of this too, is where the workforce is headed on that front too with skills.
That's great. Well, this has been fantastic. Thank you, Tim. It's great to hear about the important work you're doing. Appreciate it. Where can our listeners find more about you and America Succeeds? Where should they go?
Well, thanks again for having me. This is a great conversation and always fun. Would love for folks to check out americasucceeds.org, our website. And then we also have a website dedicated exclusively to durable skills, which is durableskills.org. So either way, you can find out more about the organization, about what we're doing. There are ways to reach out to us. My email is available there for anybody who wants to reach out directly. We also have other folks on our team. Again, anybody who wants to work on this, we're doing our best to partner with as many folks as we can to try and find out ways to get this out into classrooms and just about any type of delivery mechanism that we can find.
Yeah, that's great. And before I let you go, I should give a shout out to Edmentum. They're a client of ours, and I know you just partnered with them and you're close with Jamie Candy. So we'll tag all of that in the show notes.
Yeah, please do. Jamie's our board chair. She is extraordinary and has had a lot to do with the success that we're having in this. So she's delightful.
Yes, love her. Okay, well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much. This has been really fun. I'm super grateful for the opportunity.
Well, when you get to Indiana now, make sure and look up Richmond. We will touch base and get together.
Yeah, absolutely. We just saw that you are losing Jason Callahan in the State Department of Ed, which is a little disappointing.
Yeah, I have not stopped crying since that news has been there. So if I look a little puppy around the eyes, yes, we are sad to hear that, but happy for Jason.
Yeah, absolutely. And hope that there's enough going on with, you know, the bench that Indiana has. And again, you know, Indiana is doing a lot of things right. We, you know, that doesn't mean there's not still stuff to do, but they're in it and they understand and they are making strides, which is really nice.
No doubt.
Okay. We're going to sign off now. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Great to see you.
Thanks for joining us for the Build Momentum podcast today. If you enjoyed listening, we would love to hear your feedback and would be grateful if you would leave us a review.
This helps us to share these powerful stories with even more people. If you liked what you heard, we would be honored if you could share this episode with someone in your network. We look forward to seeing you next time on Build Momentum.